Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the best of people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. I am so excited today to have an executive director for a nonprofit organization that I have been lobbying to get here so that our community can hear from her directly. We have with us the Northern Valley Catholic Social Services Executive Director, Erna Friedeberg. Welcome. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I appreciate you having me, and thank you for your patience
as well. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well worth the wait, I must say.
Thank you.
So, people that may not be familiar with Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, is that purely, is your work faith-based?
We are an arm of the Diocese of Sacramento. So, we have a faith-based component to our organization, but we serve all peoples. We serve anyone and everyone in the community that needs our services, that qualifies for our services. They absolutely do not need to be Catholic or be associated with the Catholic Church in any way.
And you don't proselytize. You don't promote your particular faith. You're there to serve.
Absolutely. We do follow Catholic social teachings, but Catholic social teachings are universal. And again, it is about serving all walks of life, meeting people where they're at, coming with no judgment, no agenda, just being a servant to our community.
And you know, one of the things that I think is impressive to me personally is looking at all the services that Northern Valley Catholic Social Services provides in our region. And that is the premise of their work, is their faith says we're going to serve others. You're not out there saying this is the faith you need to adopt.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. Again, it is all about being servants in our community.
Yes.
And really doing the work that is so necessary in our community, that oftentimes vulnerable populations that get overlooked or shunned for one reason or another, we are really there to lend that warm hand and that listening ear and really trying to help in any way that we possibly can.
Yes, and I think for some of our listeners, it'll probably be an introduction and hopefully deepen, if they are familiar with the organization, deepen their awareness about all the different programs, because your programs that you have are massive.
Yes, we are. One of our strengths is how diverse our organization is. So we offer so many different programs across an entire region in the North State. So we're serving all the way from the Oregon border, so basically Siskiyou County to the Oregon border, all the way down to Butte County at the Butte-Yuba Sutter line. We serve six different counties, and that's...
Wow.
I know. It's impressive. So it's Shasta, Butte, Glen, Tehama, Siskiyou, Trinity.
Trinity County.
And every once in a while, we'll venture off into a different county. So we have responded to Nevada County, Plumas County, and Lassen County as well. And those were very specific circumstances around disaster. We've done a lot with disaster.
Yeah. Wildfire. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, it's wonderful that your organization has the capacity to be able to flex like that to meet the need.
Absolutely. And it's part of a bigger network, a bigger Catholic Charities USA network. And so way back in 2016, we actually trained for disaster case management response.
Wow.
And that was prior to any really significant disaster here in the North State. We'd always had some wildfires and some loss of structures, but nothing like what we saw once we hit the car fire.
Yeah.
and then the campfire, and then the subsequent fires after that. So we've been in disaster recovery really strongly since really the Bowles fire in Weed, which I think was around 2016, 2017.
Yes.
And then Obviously, all the subsequent ones from there. We still do disaster services today. We still have a small camp program going for fire recovery and rebuilds up there on the ridge in Butte County. In addition, we just sent two staff to Pueblo, Colorado to respond to their disasters there and to help stand up disaster case management teams in that state. And we're probably going to be deployed out to Spokane, Washington as well.
Yeah, poor Spokane.
Yeah.
It's really, we know how that is.
Absolutely.
It's very challenging. So usually when you have a disaster like this, what would you say is your first line of response? It's not rebuild, obviously.
No.
But what kind of services do you typically offer when you do the outreach?
So we work really closely with the Red Cross. We also work with the Cal Fire Foundation. They've been incredibly generous, as well as our local foundations. So like the Community Foundation of the North State and North Valley Community Foundation. We partner with all of those folks, and we're really boots on the ground. So a lot of times we're more known in the community than like a Red Cross, for example. And so we're able to meet survivors where they're at, or at the even the local assistance centers. We also help stand those up. And oftentimes we'll do very tangible things, such as gift cards or toiletries, things that people really need in the moment.
Yeah.
When you lose everything, you really do need everything, but you're not prepared to take everything, right? Like, even in those first few weeks, you kind of just need essentials. You really just need a roof over your head. So we've done hotel stays as well and worked with Airbnb to help get people housed that way as well. You need a roof over your head, you need clothes on your back, and you need some food. And you probably need to brush your hair and,
yep.
and brush teeth and, and have somewhere to sleep at night. And so it's really meeting those basic needs in the beginning. We also provide, we have some trained staff who are trained in crisis counseling around disaster, shock, and grief. And so it's psychological first aid, which is an evidence-based way of reaching people in those times of need.
Yeah. And, you know, it's unless you've faced something like that, it's hard to realize how disorienting it is and that shock factor for people. It's just hard to function.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it's important to have that crisis intervention.
Yeah. And we just come alongside and literally we have literally held people's hands as they walked through like the local assistance center, which has a bunch of different amazing organizations that come together in the event of a disaster, and they provide some type of service or resource. But again, that brain is not functioning as normal because it is
trauma.
Absolutely traumatized. And so we will literally walk them through and help them navigate that entire service.
I like that expression of compassion and support. I think that's really, that's the role your faith, you might say, of the organization plays, is extending that compassion to people in need.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's number one. It's really the connector. Yes. It really is. These are vulnerable folks.
Yes. And one of the reasons I do this program is not only to educate and inform, but also to invite our listeners. You know, a lot of times people have an idea about volunteering, or they'll think, you know, I don't have $100 to donate. I tell them $5. You know, all of us, if we put in $5, that's a lot of money. And so you don't have to have a large monetary gift. Any donation helps. And if you may not have 20 hours a month to give for volunteering, but maybe you have 3 hours a week or 3 hours in a month, all those things working together, we can benefit our community.
Absolutely. I've had donations as small as $1.50 before come in, and it is received with the same joy and appreciation as the $500 gift, because that $1.50 could have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think it's just speaks volumes that we're a trusted organization that's here locally in your community as well. I think that's really important. There's so many worthy organizations out there to give to. And so we don't take any donation for granted. And we're very honored with that. Volunteers, there's so many opportunities in the organization, all the way from being a CASA advocate, which is a really big volunteer job. That's where the advocates go and help juveniles who have been removed, or children who've been removed from their family of origin, mostly from child abuse and neglect, and advocates help be a voice for them in the court system. So that's a really big volunteer job, but all the way to volunteering at our front desk to answer some phones. And that's like you said, 2 to 3 hours a week. That would be amazing. That would be incredibly helpful.
And CASA, the acronym stands for?
Thank you. Court-appointed special advocate.
Court-appointed special advocates. And I know several people that have participated in that program, and they themselves have said they haven't benefited so much from it, thinking we think we're going to help the kids, but it helps the adults as well. Powerful program.
It is very powerful, life-changing for both the kiddo and the advocate.
Yes.
Most of the time, absolutely.
And I know we've had the wildfires here in the North State, but it would be any disaster that might occur that you would respond to.
Yeah, absolutely. It was flooding, I think, at the beginning of the year in Redding here.
That's right.
And we were able to distribute some gift cards to some folks who were impacted by that disaster as well. We've also were very active in the pandemic, which was a disaster in itself.
Yeah.
And we were able to help with food, some stipend funding from different foundations, as well as just essentials, masks and hand sanitizer and those types of things.
And it's very supportive when you show up. It means a lot to people.
Absolutely. And we had to get pretty creative during COVID, but we still showed up.
Good for you.
Yep.
Good for the community.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really kind of amazing the counties that you serve. And like you said, you Pueblo, Colorado, you do some other things as well, but six counties, correct?
Six counties.
That's pretty impressive. And they're not, Redding's the largest and Chico's next probably for size. So these are very rural communities.
They are very rural communities, and we do go up into the mountain areas. So we've been happy camp.
That's impressive.
We serve up there. We serve in Berry Creek, Feather Falls, Fort Wayne in Siskiyou County, You name it. If it's in the county of the origin that we serve, we will get to you.
That's amazing. I appreciate that work. Having lived in Trinity County for a long time, I know how it is hard for rural population to get services.
It absolutely is. And we are always trying to serve the underserved. We have even bought all-wheel drive vehicles, so sometimes we can go in weather. And technology now has made it so we can do some telehealth communication and some Zoom meetings. It's not always quite the same. Of course, you also have some technology challenges, whether or not somebody has services or has access to those types of things. But that's also what we look at, right? When we start engaging with somebody, it's like, do you have service? Do you have a technology? Because that's really critical. Again, in times of emergency, like a fire, they need to be able to get notified. They need to be able to reach out. And so we do look at all of that. And then we can also help equip them with those types of things.
That's awesome. Very awesome. And before we go on and talk more about Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, I always ask my guests so that people can get to know them a little bit. Where did you grow up?
Oh my gosh. Well, I am a North State girl.
Hey.
I grew up in Las Molinas in Tehama County. It's my village of like 1,800 people, and go Bulldogs.
Yes, there you go. I love that. And so after high school, did you go on to get a degree? Did you work in, the field, or what was your background?
So I I stayed local. I moved to Chico and I went to Butte for a little bit. Gotta love junior colleges.
Yes.
It's a great way to figure out what you want to do with the rest of your life.
That's what I did too.
Absolutely. And then I transferred over to Chico State, finished my degree, and then, you know, did a few different jobs, but then found my way to Northern Valley Catholic Social Service. I actually have been there since 2001 and started as a case manager serving pregnant and parenting teenagers.
Wow. So you came up through the ranks.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm homegrown all the way through and through.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when someone stays with an organization, you're obviously committed to its purpose.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to remind our listeners, if you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with Erna Friedeberg. She is Executive Director for Northern Valley Catholic Social Services. And we're talking about, one, we were just talking about her background, local, homegrown to the North State, but also the organization serving six counties and beyond at times. So I mentioned in the introduction that it's a nonprofit organization. So you must have a board of directors?
We have an amazing board of directors at Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, again, representing as much of the North State as we possibly can. And so we have a board member from Siskiyou County and some from Butte County. We've had Tehama County represented before. I'm always looking for those smaller counties. So anybody from Trinity who wants to reach out, or Glenn County, would love to have you. We have 13 board members currently. They're so committed to the organization. I can't say enough about the time that they spend with us. They're wonderful advisors and mentors and donors, supporters. Kim Niemer is our board president, and she is our first female board president.
Whoa.
The organization is 40 years old, so we're celebrating our 40th year, and she is our first female board president. So we're thrilled to have Kim in that role.
Yes, awesome. For many people, they don't realize she's retired from City of Reading as a community services director. And from my personal connections with her, I find her to be absolutely amazing, because I watch her when challenges come up. She figures them out. You know, she's not intimidated. She moves through them, and she'll talk to people and she'll bring people together.
Yep.
I mean, she's really a very powerful leader.
She absolutely is. She is a connector and she is a doer. And yeah. I have learned a lot from her.
And thinks on her feet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
She does. Yeah.
So your board, the people serving on the board, serve as volunteers?
They are all volunteers. Yes.
Yes. And do you know the amount of staff people you have with all the six counties?
We are currently at 186 staff.
You cover a lot of ground.
We
with
do.
186 people. Wow. And we talked about your disaster response program that I know some of the organizations, I don't know if this is something you're doing, but some of the organizations, after the things have happened, do an emergency preparedness component for the communities. Do you do that as part of...
We do, actually. We have that. So we have an assistant director who specializes in emergency management.
Uh-huh.
And so we help communities and certain populations, like with go bags.
Yes.
And in addition to that, are you signed up for the alerts on your cell phone? Do you have, you know, everything that you need prepared? Do you have a spot for it? Do you have a support system if you can't drive? Because you're talking about some of the elderly, vulnerable, disabled. You know, what is your, who are you calling in case you can't get out yourself? Who would that be? And then making sure that that person knows that they're their person.
Yeah.
For that. And also, we are working with some folks in Butte County right now through a mitigation program where we're helping even clear their properties, because that's a really big piece too. Some of these folks live in areas that are heavily wooded or overgrown with vegetation, and they're limited by income and or ability and or both.
Yeah.
And so we find different companies that would come and really volunteer their time to help clear their properties.
Wow.
And so that they are at less risk of losing their home in the event of a fire.
Yeah, because it's really good to keep people in their homes, and if creating defensible space.
Right.
Increases the safety and the capacity to be at home, that makes sense. Because otherwise, you know, if people can't stay in their home, then they actually end up more on needing support from the system.
Absolutely.
And so this is benefits us all.
Absolutely.
There also might be someone listening that has a tree service or workers that may want to be able to volunteer some hours.
That's a great point, Lynn. And we welcome that. People, yes, you can bring your change laws and your trucks, and we'd be happy to have your service.
There's always a need, isn't there?
Always a need.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So think about services that specifically support families. I think you do outreach, don't you?
We absolutely do outreach. And so we try to collaborate with other organizations in the community. And we table events. We try to show up in public spaces where children and families are. But if we aren't there and you need to find us, you can certainly call us. Our phone number is 530-241-0552. And Laura Mitchell's our front desk person, and she can direct you to the appropriate program. We also have a revamped website as well. That's quite lovely. But we do try to get out in the community as much as we possibly can. Our services are really community-based services. And when we are serving children and families, we like to meet them where they're at. So we mm-hmm. do home visits. If they're more comfortable in the park, we're happy to go to the park. If they want to meet at the school, we're happy to meet at the school. Wherever is their most comfortable space.
And do you do anything that helps, like, new parents? Because I know having a new child in your home, that's kind of an adjustment period.
Yes, it's one of the most exciting times in people's lives, and yet one of the most
challenging.
Daunting. Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, they're going to actually let me bring this baby home, and what do I do now?
Yeah.
We have an evidence-based program we run, and it's called Healthy Families America, or Baby Steps, which is easier to remember. And this program is really designed to work with families and you know, again, all walks of life. It's a voluntary program. And we really like to reach them when they're pregnant so that we can help along with that journey, making sure that they are getting the prenatal care that they need, that they're having the healthy birth outcomes, and that they're also ready to take baby home so that they have everything that they need in their home set up. We ensure that they have the safe equipment that they need. And then we go in and we really work on parent-child bonding, what child development looks like, validate the frustrations and the challenges of parenthood, because
yeah.
they're certainly real for all of us, and just really focus in concentrating on that relationship. It is ultimately a child abuse prevention program, and it has statistically and research-wise been proven to be incredibly effective.
Yes. And I know you've mentioned a couple of times evidence-based, and I'm not sure all the listeners know what that means. Can you describe what that means?
So evidence-based programming goes through longitudinal studies, right? And so they are looking at different methods and different ways of delivering services to families that have a lasting impact on the family and a change impact. So a lot of families that we work with may have generational trauma and challenges. And these types of programs come in and they really help change the trajectory of a family in a more healthy and successful future for the family and the children. And so the longitudinal studies really bear that research out. So they take you know, years to really get certified as evidence-based programming, and they have tons of data behind that.
Yes. Evidence that it works.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's what I always encourage people to realize. It's proving that it's a tried and true way of working with things. So having something that's evidence-based is really much more supportive for people accessing those resources.
It absolutely is.
So yep. Any other family services that we haven't talked about that you want to highlight, or do we do kind of a nice overview of that?
You know, really, all of our services are family services when you think about it. When we get into with a client, we inevitably are working with the entire family.
Yes.
So if we enroll a child in our mental health services, we obviously are working closely with the guardians in that home and whoever else is living in the home, including siblings. So all of our services really encompass the entire family, or what that person considers their family to be.
Yes. And I think, too, when I think of, we talked briefly at the beginning about CASA, mm-hmm. which is dealing with the foster youth, and that stands for Court Advocate.
Court-appointed special advocates.
That is a whole program that you offer.
It is. And it is a national program. So there's CASAs all over the United States. And we have our CASA program in Butte Glen and Tehama counties, Shasta County as well. And it, you know, it's really about being a voice for the child. It's a really scary time for these children. They've typically been detained out of their family of origin due to abuse and neglect. And oftentimes they're put in foster care situations. And there's some great foster care situations and there's some not so great situations. And so this advocate can come alongside the child, really gets into all aspects of their case, works with the social worker, works with the child's attorney, meets with the judges, meets with the foster parents as well, sometimes meets with the bio parents, depending on the situation, the circumstance, and of course spends a tremendous amount of quality time getting to know their kiddo.
Hanging out together.
Absolutely.
Building relationship.
Absolutely.
Building trust.
It's all about building trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can imagine think of yourself at a young age, a childhood age, even if you're 17, I mean, you know, you go through something where you can no longer be in your family of origin. You're taken from your home. That's a traumatic event in itself, let alone anything else that may have occurred. So court-appointed
special advocate.
Yes, special advocate. Then you as an individual, you're volunteering your time to spend time with that person to be able to build that relationship, build that trust. And I know a couple people that have participated, and they said they benefited so much from it that they've done it multiple times and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yes. That we often see that be the case. A lot of these advocates, if they have a kiddo, let's say they're 13, they will stay with them most of the time until they're 18. And oftentimes that relationship even extends into their adulthood.
Yes. Yeah. I think that the court-appointed special advocate, the CASA program, has changed lives in a positive way.
Certainly has. And we have a representative at the state legislature. And forgive me, I'm not going to think of his name, but he was a CASA kid himself. And he talks all the time about how his advocate helped change his entire life and helped him go into that direction.
So powerful.
It is really powerful.
Now, if someone's out there and they say, that's something I want to explore, do they reach out to Northern Valley Catholic Social Services?
They absolutely do. Again, they can call that phone number that I gave, 530-241-0552, and just ask about the CASA court-appointed special advocate program. And we will, Laura will make sure that you get to the right person. We have trainings probably 3 to 4 times a year. So you might not get involved immediately after you call.
Process.
But, yep, it is a process. You do go through some extensive, I think it's like a 40-hour training, and then you go, you actually get sworn in by a judge, take an oath, you get sworn in by the court. Obviously have to pass a pretty rigorous background check.
Yeah.
And then you get assigned your kiddo.
Yeah. I think it's a powerful way to give back to community, and you're building relationship with an individual that really needs that support.
It is one of the most amazing volunteer opportunities out there.
Yes. Yes. So maybe you're tuning in and you say, that's something I want to explore. And you may go through the training and decide, it's really not for me. But then you may be really excited about it too. So, you know, I think it's something worthwhile taking a look at if you have the time and the desire. So if you just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I also like to pause and thank the Shasta County Arts Council under the direction of Nancy Hill, Executive Director, because they provide us with the Reading studio space. They support all forms of art, and certainly in this case, supporting KKRN that allows us to have our Reading production studio. So thank you, Nancy Hill and staff. We appreciate you immensely so. I want to invite listeners to consider making a donation to KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Donations keep the station alive. So without those donations, KKRN will cease to exist. All of the local programs that you hear on the station are created by local community members serving as volunteers. The donations you make help pay for the equipment use, maintenance and acquisition of new equipment, as well as the licensing fees, the antenna rental use, and other items for the continued operation of KKRN. They do not pay for salaries. To make a donation, no matter how small, please go to www.kkrn.org and select Donate button so you can make a donation by credit card. Or you can mail a check. Make it payable to KKRN. Mail it to P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. All of this information is also listed on our website. I want to thank you in advance for any and all donations you make. Thank you. I am here in conversation with the Executive Director of the Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, Erna Frieden. And she has been there how many years? Since 2001?
Yes.
Wow.
So I am 25 years. It was 25 years, I think, August 2nd.
Wow.
I just had anniversary. Yeah.
Good for you. How long have you served as executive director?
About 3.5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. Obviously, you're very committed.
I am.
Yes.
I love what we do. It's never boring. And I think the diversity of programs just keeps me excited, and it's always about the mission.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I know one of the things that is really a challenge in communities today is housing for the unsheltered. We have people living on the street. I know you have a housing program, so I want you to share with us, tell us about your housing program. Is it only in Reading, or is it all in six counties? How's it work?
We have 13 low-income affordable housing complexes, and we have 344 units. So we have units in Reading, Red Bluff, Chico, and Lewiston. We have also helped build and develop some other housing complexes, and those include in Chico and in Burnie, again in Reading. And we are always looking for new opportunities to work with developers. We come in really as a nonprofit who can provide property management as well as supportive services. And so we make the developers' applications attractive and eligible for things like tax credits and different types of funding through HUD. Funding is always challenging in housing. Yeah. It's like it literally is like an 8 to 10 year process. Wow. From conception to keys being handed to a resident. So we're looking at different innovative ways of creating housing opportunities. We just hired a new, it's a year now, but she's still new to us. Jacqueline Disney is our housing director, and she is building an amazing housing team. And we are partnering in different ways in our community to be able to provide roofs overheads in a different kind of way. We will always be interested in building complexes.
Yes.
Because you just can house so many. But again, you're talking about a long time, a long way, because it's just a weave of funding and partners. And unfortunately, the funding is always shifting and changing as well.
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to pivot with the fundings. There's different opportunities that we're looking at and different ways that we can do more housing.
You know, I think it's pretty impressive, though. You said there are 344 units. That's amazing.
It is amazing. And a lot of that is children and families, but also people with persistent mental illness, as well as those living with disabilities, developmental disabilities, and we also have a senior complex as well. So we do have special populations in a lot of those units. We work very, very closely with them to make sure that they remained housed, and so we do that through quality property management as well as supportive services.
Yeah. So some of the supportive services that might be there when you're working with housing. Is counseling possibly, like life skills? Is that?
Yeah, it's a lot of life skills. It's, you know, how to keep your apartment clean, how to budget, how to make your dollar stretch, how to ensure you're paying your bills on time. Are you signed up for low income programs through PG&E and those types of things? And then, yes, if they need mental health services, we work closely with behavioral health as well to ensure that they are connected.
Yes. And, you know, I can't imagine living on the street. And mm-hmm. I know that a low-income affordable housing is an issue, not just in these counties, but across the U.S.
Yeah, it's a crisis.
It's a crisis. Mm-hmm. So even with the micro-shelter program in Redding, California, you know, they're in their micro shelter for 10 months mm-hmm. and then they have to go someplace. Mm-hmm. And it's really imperative to have someplace for people to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So. And there's just not enough housing inventory, frankly. Right now, our units have waiting lists, unfortunately. Yeah. We do accept people on the waiting list. So if people are interested, again, they can reach out to us and we will make sure that we get them on the list. We do go through the list routinely, probably 4 to 6 times a year, depending on how often we have vacancies. But people get pretty settled in our units as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard, I think, for people that need housing.
I think it's the biggest challenge in our communities and yes. really probably our entire country.
And, you know, when you think of people that are unhoused, unsheltered, living on the street, you know, people tend to think criminals and all addicts, and it's not really true.
No.
And so it's a misconception. And so to be able to have someone who maybe hasn't had the because of their situation in life, mm-hmm. have not been taught some of the basic things, the yep. case management component is huge.
Absolutely huge. And we've had, I'm thinking of a complex in Chico, and again, that's for the persistently mentally ill, many of whom were homeless for quite some time. We just met with a gal. And she'd been homeless for about 10 years.
Wow.
And so she, you know, just getting used to having a key.
Yeah.
That'd
be weird, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, teaching them healthy boundaries.
Yep.
You know, being compassionate, but not letting everyone come into your apartment and eat all your food and sleep everywhere? And what does that look like? Because, you know, people want to pay it forward, and we understand that completely, but teaching them healthy boundaries and also how different ways that they can get back to their community.
Yes. Doesn't have to mean everybody can move in with you or eat all your food.
Right.
Yes. Because that just exacerbates the problem.
Right.
Yeah. And you want them to recover from that and gain the skills. So maybe there's someone out there. How do they apply? Do they call in like you said before?
Okay. Yes. They can call in the number. It's 530-241-0552. Again, we can get you on housing waiting lists. We also have an application process online, and that's at our website at www.nvcss.org.
Good. And you said there's for mental illness, developmentally delayed, mm-hmm. As well as low income. So you really have a whole spectrum.
Yes. And we do have a senior complex as well.
And the senior complex. Mm-hmm. Where's the senior complex located? Reading?
It's Reading, yeah.
Reading, okay. I was just curious. It's just amazing work to think that you're housing, you know, 344, and there's more than 344 people because there's the families are different.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I think it's close to 600 individuals are being housed. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes because they're not on the street, it's like they're invisible.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's part of the reason I invited you in, because of the work you're doing is extraordinary and exceptional.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned Bernie. Bernie's a little different housing mm-hmm. situation.
Well, it's a development that we worked in collaboration with K2. And so we came in and helped be the nonprofit to get that complex secured there for that community. But we don't own or property manage that complex.
Yes. And is that the only one like that, or are there others?
There's Jarvis Gardens in Chico as well. And Good. That is a senior complex.
Yeah. I think it's very powerful to be able to empower an organization to be able to provide some affordable low-income housing, even if you're not the ultimate one having to do the case management.
Absolutely. And that is a really key role that we can play in bringing that asset and those funds to our community. These are really competitive dollars. And so, and everything kind of has to line up right to be qualified and eligible for them. And so it's a great honor for us actually to be able to play a role in that.
Yeah. Keep up the good work. I like that. Also, anything else about housing that we should talk about that we haven't covered? You gave the website, you gave the phone number.
And we are always looking for volunteers for our housing complexes as well, because we have some projects, some like quality improvement projects around the complexes, like flower beds and mulch and those kinds of things. So we have opportunities to beautify our apartment complexes if anybody's interested.
Willing to volunteer. Yes. And do you need anything where do they, you know, like I have some artist friends where people would go in and do like a community activity?
Yes. I'm so glad you said that. We do have community rooms. So if somebody wanted to do, you know, something, like a paint and lemonade, we would welcome that. That would be amazing.
Yeah. There's so many ways that we really can give back that make a huge difference for people. So if you're out there and think, hey, I'd like to do that, call. Just give them the phone number a couple times. We'll give it again as well. So the other thing I wanted to be sure and touch upon was immigrant support. Is that mm-hmm. something you do as well?
It is. And we do that all through the region. So that service is available. We help with immigration legal services. It's free of charge. And we have bilingual, bicultural staff who are accredited through an immigration network. And so they're just a step below attorneys. So they're not attorneys, but they can really navigate all of the judicial system, laws around immigration, and the paperwork. As you know, we're in one of the most tumultuous times for immigrants, and it's ever evolving and changing. I mean, literally, not an exaggeration, immigration law changes every day.
Wow. That makes it really hard to move through the system.
It makes it incredibly hard. And so we have staff who stay up on that. They get notifications, they're networked in. And so they're incredibly knowledgeable. They've had really high success rates with the immigrants that they've served.
Now, I can imagine because of the tumultuousness that has been in our culture around immigration, there may be somebody out there hears this and says, I would love to access services, but I'm nervous about showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think when they come into your offices and receive services, they have to be worried about ICE being around, or is it pretty
secure? It's very secure. We also have agency policies around ICE and officials, immigration officials, and so unless there is, we're not giving anybody up. Yeah. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
We teach them to know your rights. And we're not really advertising and gathering people in big groups. So we're not doing a lot of community workshops right now, just in case, we were to get, somebody who would call enforcement. A lot of these folks have been here literally for years, if not decades. Some of them are Dreamers or DACA.
What's DACA?
They were born in another country, but their parents brought them over.
Very young.
Very young.
Yeah.
And this is the only place they've ever known to be their home. And so for those folks in particular, it is incredibly scary to think about getting deported.
Yes. And do you have a sense of, because I hear people saying, well, why don't they become a citizen? That process takes a while, doesn't it?
It is such an arduous process to become a United States citizen. And again, it is the mark keeps moving. And so it can take literally years. It does take years, and it's expensive. It's expensive. And so those barriers are all there. It's a tough system to navigate around. There's not a whole lot of immigration attorneys out there.
Yeah.
They're expensive. And then there's, I'm not thinking of the word, but there's attorneys out there who are not on the up and up. And so
fraud.
Yes. They take your money and then they either disappear or they just don't file your paperwork. And that has happened to many immigrants because they don't have any resources and they don't have any recourse, right? And so they've been taken advantage of in the system, and that's very, very unfortunate. So we are very proud to be able to provide the service free of charge. And we can also refer them to, if they have complex cases, because some of these cases are pretty complex, we can also refer them to reputable legal immigration attorneys.
That's amazing that you offer that service, because I think there's a vital need. I've had some people ask me, so until you and I were talking about this program and I was looking at your website and the services listed, I didn't realize Northern Valley Catholic Social Services offered that.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's important for people to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been offering it for about 10 years now.
Yeah. So they can reach out to you through the website or phone and make connections, especially if they're a little hesitant and fearful. You know, making a phone call you can do, or going on the web and reaching in that way.
Absolutely. And again, we meet people where they're at. So if they don't want to come into the office, we're happy to meet them somewhere. A library is a great place. And again, you know, we have bilingual, bicultural staff. Many of them have gone through actually the citizenship process themselves, and so they've helped their family do that.
Yeah,
so they know it really well.
Lived experience,
yeah,
makes a difference. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. And myself, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with Erna Friedeberg. She is Executive Director of Northern Valley Catholic Social Services. We're finding out about all the various things they do in six counties in Northern California. Let me see if I get this right, Erna. Siskiyou, Shasta, Butte, Trinity, Tehama, and Glen.
That's correct.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
Oh, gold star. Gold star. So the other thing that's near and dear to my heart is the mental health services you provide. So let's talk about that a little bit.
So that's really how we got started, right? Yeah. 40 years ago. And so it was actually three local priests here in Reading that saw the need for mental health services for their parishioners. And so they reached out to the Diocese of Sacramento and got a little $25,000 startup money. And here we are 40 years later.
Wow.
And I think they're pretty proud. At any rate, we do offer mental health services. We offer them specifically right now in Butte and Shasta counties, although we are able to provide enhanced care management across the region. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But we have a licensed family, marriage family therapists, as well as licensed clinical social workers. And we also have folks who are coming out of their master's program and looking to gain their hours. And so we're also a training program, a way for people to get their hours and to really learn the different modalities and theories of different types of therapy and really get to work again with some of the most vulnerable in our communities. I think it really prepares them for futures in the field. And so we've been doing that for 40 years now.
From the very beginning.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you work with individuals and families.
We do. Yeah. A lot of our contracts are school-based contracts. And so it's a specialty mental health services through the state. And they are like Medi-Cal focused, but we are now accepting other types of service, including different types of partnership, as well as CareLawn insurances. And we are open to private pay as well.
Yeah, all those. And there certainly is a vast need. Now, you do see adults as well as children. Or is there a focus more on children?
There is a focus on children, but we have opened it all up to adults. Our contracts in our counties tend to be for the kids, but our more private pay and like other types of insurances, we can see adults through that.
And when you say those contracts, are you going into schools?
We are going into schools, yeah.
And they're elementary, high school, or a whole spectrum?
They are really at this point a whole spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. Wherever there's need.
Wherever there is need. And there is so much need in youth with mental health. Yeah. I mean, it's more than I've ever seen, really.
Yes. And, you know, we've had drug epidemics in our nation that all takes a toll on children and families. So there is a huge need. I don't think you could ever have enough in your counseling staff to meet the need.
That's absolutely true. There's not enough mental health services. There's more, I think, avenues than there's ever been in mental health in a lot of ways. Yes. Because now, you know, private therapists are taking all types of insurance, whereas before it was really pretty strict or it was only private pay. So there's different avenues to get mental health services. There's still some stigma around mental health. I think the younger generations, frankly, are more open to looking at mental health. But there's definitely some stigmas, and I think that's generational, and I think there's some cultural stuff there as well.
Yeah. As a licensed marriage and family therapist, I'll have people say, you know, my family member, my friend thinks, you know, you're crazy to go to therapy.
Right.
I tell them crazy people cannot do therapy because they're crazy. So the people that are doing therapy, they're working on life changes and to be able to enhance their life, process trauma, because pretty much the majority of the population has experienced trauma somewhere in their lifetime.
Right.
And the childhood trauma is the most challenging. We know in Shasta County, our adverse childhood scores, experiences, what's called ACEs, is highest, you know, higher than the national scores, higher than the state scores. So it's the focus on psychotherapy, mental health, behavioral health services, I think, creates a change for individuals, for families, for the North State.
It 100% does. It really can change the whole trajectory for generations to come when they can really look at kind of the origins and move forward, and also look at the positive new ways of looking at it in a positive way, for sure.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Powerful. You also mentioned the enhanced care management.
Yeah, so enhanced care management is a new benefit essentially it's Medi-Cal, or what used to be Medi-Cal. So if you have state-sponsored insurance, then you more than likely qualify for enhanced care management services. And so that's really getting assigned a case manager who's going to work with you about twice a month and help with all different kinds of things, including housing. Housing's a big emphasis. This was really a sweeping state Medi-Cal rethink. And this is a part of that whole restructure of Medi-Cal, and to hopefully help with the unhoused population.
I hope, because there's such a vast need. You know, quickly, because we're running out of time, your funding, where's your funding come from?
My goodness, we are funded from anywhere from the federal government, state, county, local foundations, cities,
donations.
Private donors, donations, you
grants.
Name it, grants, absolutely. We get a variety of different funding.
Yeah. You're willing to receive whatever is there.
We appreciate donations of any kind.
Yes. And you said there were three priests that decided 40 years ago that there was a need?
Yes.
Do you remember their names?
The three Catholics who helped create exactly who we are today is Monsignor Terra, Father Kiernan, and Deacon Mike Evans. And we just can't thank them enough.
Yeah, they're visionaries.
They really were, way before their time, and such advocates for our community that goes well beyond the Catholic Church.
They've left a nice legacy, haven't they?
I think it was beyond their imagination that we would be where we are today.
Yes, yes. I want to thank Erna Friedeberg as the executive director of Northern Valley Catholic Social Services. The website, again, where people can go to get information,
is www.mbcss.org.
And the phone number where people can go
is 530-241-0552.
And I want to congratulate you as an organization, 40 years.
Yeah.
And you've been with them 25.
Yes.
Yes.
I have been.
Congratulations.
More than half.
On both accounts.
Thank you.
Keep up the brilliant work. It's making a difference in people's lives.
Oh, really appreciate it. And that's what we are driven to do. And that's what our mission is all about.
Yes. And the invitation for our listeners: spend some time if you can, volunteer, make a donation. No donation is too small. Go to the website, make a phone call. We did an overview of the services. Just really run across the surface of things. So as always, with the close of the program, I want to remind Erna, myself, and our listeners, we want to make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living. Thank you for joining us.